How many missed the lights behind me? Me? Would you be thrown off if I turn the lights back on? You say, preacher, then we'll lose the thrill of Christmas. Amen. I like leaving those lights on as much as possible. Amen. So we are slowly kind of going away from the lights. We'll change the foyer message and put the photos back up out there. So slowly but surely, I'm giving in to change. Amen. And how many have all their Christmas decorations down? Amen. How many still have decorations to take down? How many cheat and leave them up all year long? Amen. I knew one of my coworkers, he did that. He just unplugged the lights and left them all out there, and you never knew they were there. It just blended right into everything, and then when the Christmas time came, he just plugged them right back in, and guess what? He was good to go. I thought, you're the smartest one out of all of us, amen? Because we have to take them down and put them away and unravel them and unmix them up. And he just said, I'm just going to plug them in, and I tell you what, it was really amazing that you didn't notice that they were there, and they were there all year long, amen? All right, well, we do have a memory verse. Now, I don't know about you. How many were here last week? How many got the message of what this is all about? Amen. How many don't like it already? Amen. I found myself, I had some back spasms last week, and I immediately was going to God and asking him to take it away, and then I thought about the lesson. And when I thought about the lesson, I said, oops, God, I'm supposed to be saying, God, give me the grace that is sufficient. Don't take it away. Help me to function with it. And I grimacingly asked the Lord for grace. And guess what he gave me?
Grace.
Did he take the pain away? No. But he did give me grace to endure and to go through the spasms that I went through. And I must say, I'm thankful for his grace, but I sure would have loved to have it taken away. Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We left you with in verse number 9. And that's where we're going to be at. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, you'll see that the words of Christ are in red. How many have a red letter edition Bible? Amen. And the words of Christ are in red, starting with my, ending in weakness. So let's read 2 Corinthians 12:9. We'll say the reference, then read the verse, and then the reference. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Amen. You know, everything about that verse I like, except for the words, most gladly. I didn't have that part, amen. I must confess, I've got to work on that part, the gladness part. Father, work in our hearts as we look at this lesson. Lord, the grace that you give us for every need, God, is so important. Lord, there will be times when you will leave us with our thorn and our flesh, and it's going to be up to us to come to you and ask you for the grace, because you have no intention on removing the thorn that is within. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this lesson, we might be comforted more. And, Lord, slowly but surely, maybe quickly, understand the part that Paul said most gladly. He would rather, therefore, glory in his infirmities. God, help us to recognize the power of Christ that is waiting to rest upon us if we would just submit to your will when it comes to the thorn that we may have. We thank you, we love you, and praise you, Lord. Your word is sovereign, we know that. Lord, help us to submit to it and, Lord, to gain the blessings that come from it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, so now you all know that Pastor has weaknesses just like you. Pastor has infirmities of the flesh just like you. Pastor doesn't always go to the Lord most gladly and asking him for grace and dealing with infirmities. Amen. How many of y'all are, the pain doesn't bother you at all. Amen. You can just go through it. That doesn't bother you at all. Amen. So we're all on equal footing there then. Mr. Payne, amen. Mr. Payne comes to visit us at times. The lesson is entitled Grace for Every Need. Amen. And the whole goal behind this is allowing us to see that thorns are just trials and opportunities that God is giving us to get his grace to do his will, despite the thorn. And again, I read what Paul says here about most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, but I'm not feeling that just yet. I mean, anybody feel that yet? I'm not feeling that just yet. I hope I get there, but I'm just not feeling it yet, amen. I'm looking forward to that day when I go to the Lord and say, oh God, I'm so glad for this thorn that you gave me. I'm looking forward to that day. Today is not that day. As that song says, he's still working on me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all might get there before I do. Bev's going to get there before I will. Amen. She's smiling already. Amen. Bev's going to get there. Andrea's going to get there. She's smiling. Amen. I'm still going to be back there with a grimace on my face. God, thank you for the thorn. But I'm hoping to get there. What are we looking at here? We're looking at coming to God basically with a problem and asking God to give us what we need to handle the problem through us. So we're counting on his strength to do this. And I gave you the jar illustration last week, how my wife asked me to open up the jar and I was happy to do it. Amen. God is happy to get us through whatever we have going on. He really is happy to do that. But you know, we've got to lose self. If you're anything like me, you want to do it yourself. You want to save God the problem. You want to save God the hardship. You want to save God the time that he could invest in helping someone else and say, God, I can do this. Amen. How many of y'all had children? You're trying to teach them how to ride the bike? And they push your hand away. I got this. I got this. And what happens shortly after they get out of your reach? Pow. That's how we are sometimes with God. I got this. I got this. Pow. And we fall. I've been there more times than I'd like to admit, amen. When God is saying, but I'll hold you until you can steady the ship. I'll hold you. I got this. I got this. I got this. Lord, leave me alone. And then we fall, amen. I fell too many times, amen. And I should have learned my lesson, but I haven't yet, amen. Roman numeral 1, we talked about the agonizing thorn. The agonizing thorn. And I gave you this challenge in the introduction last week. Whenever you go through a challenge or I go through a challenge or have a thorn in the flesh, as Paul called it, instead of praying for God to take the thorn away, we should pray for God to show his strength through us.
Yes.
Again, it's not always easy. He showed it to Paul and he wants to show it to you and I. But we first have to honestly come to God asking him, show your strength with this thorn that I have. And so we looked at the agonizing thorn there. We see the verse there, verse 7. And read verse 7 with me there. It should be right there in your books. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. By the way, we're going to see that same train of thought tonight as we look at the Satan's strategies and how to detect them and to defeat them. One of the strategies that he uses is basically he tries to use your body against you. We're going to look at that tonight. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our bodies. We looked at how he is a deceiver. But now tonight, if it doesn't work in deceiving you, if you can't be fooled, he's going to try to just out and out destroy you.
Yes, sir. Pastor, he is.
If I can't deceive you, I'll destroy you. And that's what we're going to look at. And sometimes he uses our body against us. Verse 8, it says, for this I besought the Lord how many times? thrice that it might depart from me. Ironically, how many times did Jesus go to the Lord God in the Garden of Gethsemane? Three times. How many times did Peter deny Christ?
Three. Twice.
Amen. It's amazing that three times repeats itself in the Word of God. And we looked at the agonizing thorn, and we saw what came. And what came was a thorn. A thorn. And it means a prickle or a spike. That's the literal definition. It's a prickle or a spike. And figuratively, it can be any disability or annoyance that you and I may have. By the way, what are some things that annoy Christians? What annoys us? Jeff, what annoys you?
Taking my Lord's name in vain.
Amen. People taking the Lord's name in vain. Amen. What else annoys us? Jerry? Rudeness. Somebody just being rude for no reason at all. Amen. What else annoys us? Cussing. Amen. Ma'am? Amen. Pain. Amen. It annoys us. Amen. I don't like it. Amen. What else annoys us? Because these are all things that can be thorns. They really can be. I worked around some people that cursed all the time. I had to put signs up. Do not curse in my office. And if they cursed, I would gladly point up to the sign. And they would look at it and say, "Ooh, excuse me, I didn't see that." I said, I know. That's why I pointed it out to you. Amen. And so there are certain things that will annoy us in life, and they can be called thorns. We don't know what Paul's actual thorn was. Some think it might have been his eyes, maybe a physical defect. One thing we know was not a problem. That was his speech. There was no problem with his tongue. Amen. He can get the point out. Amen. But some may, I know of some people, my grandmother, she stuttered. And so she, every time she got excited or if she felt rushed, she starts stuttering all the time. And that was a thorn to her. She didn't like stuttering. She wanted to speak clearly and wanted to get it all out. Yes, some people stutter. Others have other things that are thorns in their flesh. And three occasions, Paul asked the Lord to take the thorn away. But God chose not to take it away. Amen. And I gave you this thought process. Do you think Paul thought to himself, "But Lord, I could do so much more if I didn't have this thorn"?
Yep. Yes, sure.
Don't we think that too?
Yes, sir.
God, I could do so much more if I didn't have whatever. Lord, I could be so much more effective if I didn't stutter. Jamelli, I could be so much more effective if I didn't have fibromyalgia. Lord, I could be so much more effective, Takesha, if people didn't curse around me. I could be so much more effective, Jerry, if I wasn't sick right now. Lord, I could be so much more effective if I didn't have this Achilles problem. Lord, I could be so much more effective if I didn't have sleep apnea. Lord, I could be so much more effective if I could walk better, if I could talk better. Lord, I'd be so much more effective. Did not Moses say, I can't talk? Amazing, he didn't go to God when he was in Pharaoh's court about his speech. You think about that? When he was in Pharaoh's court, he never went to God and said, "You know, God, I can't talk to these Egyptians out here. I can't do my job." But then soon as God says, "Hey, Moses, why don't you go lead my people?" I can't talk. Isn't that interesting? See, with our infirmity, our thorns, sometimes we can do what we want to do. But then when God asks to do something, "Oh, God, you know, man, my back spasms. You know, I would go and give that person a track, but that's too far away. Fred's closer. Let Fred do it. Amen." "God, I would come to church, but, you know, those pews so hard. I just can't do it. Hey, the football game's on. Sit there for 3 hours. Get Green Bay! Oh, but going, giving a track, oh, my back. Oh, come to church, oh, my back. Oh, go over and be kind, oh, my back." Hey, it didn't bother Moses until. Amen. Perhaps you and I, like Paul, we think, "You know, Lord, I could do so much more if it weren't for this thorn." Here are some of the things that the book says may be thorns. A thorn in the flesh is something so excruciating and so handicapping that it weakens you. Anybody ever had back spasms before? You know what I'm talking about, amen. It says here, in the same way, figuratively speaking, a figurative spike could be a form of physical sickness, a life failure. Well, maybe my children didn't turn out the way I thought, or my husband is not what I thought, my wife is not what I thought, or I've been divorced 5 times, or I was brought up with a single parent, or whatever the life failure we may call. It could be a family situation. Well, God, you just don't know my family situation. I'd serve better if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh. Could be a strained relationship. Somebody's mad at me, or I'm mad at somebody, or I don't want to forgive somebody, or somebody doesn't want to forgive me. It could be the inability to have children, which I gave you guys that example last week. A miscarriage, maybe, or a variety of other things. A thorn in the flesh is something that often brings pain every time it comes to your or my mind. So that could be the thorn. Now, just for a moment, think. What is your thorn? What comes to mind that really cripples you from serving God the way you would like to? Because that's what you have to come up with. What is your thorn? Everybody's got one. There's no one exempt from a thorn. Yours may not be as severe as the next one. But guess what? God knows what type of thorn everybody needs. Well, Fred's got a smaller thorn than I've got. I got this massive thorn that goes from the front and sticks out the other side.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Brother Duffy's just got a little splinter for a thorn. God, you must like Green Bay Packer fans.
Yeah.
Bear fans have them all the way through. Amen. Pierced by 5 people. Amen. Hey, we've got to figure out what our thorn is. What is your thorn? And what is that which handicaps you? And again, we're not talking about a literal thorn, but figuratively, what type of situation is it that you have that makes it difficult for you to serve God? And let's help you out here by going to B, when it came. When it came. So A, what came? A thorn. When it came, B. Which for that, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse number 1. I want to break it down to you so you can kind of see what's going on and why God gave Paul this thorn and why he may have given you your thorn. Revelations chapter number, Second Corinthians chapter 12. When it came, so let's see, when did this thorn come? By the way, in chapter 10, Paul is defending his apostleship. They had some problems with him, and he is telling them why he is who he is and what they should be doing in respect towards him. Chapter number 11, he continues that same thought, dealing with his conduct upon them and around them and why they should accept him as an apostle. And he also starts talking about some of the suffering that he went through down there in verse number 16 through 27 and beyond. So he's giving his credentials, what he went through. Then he comes to chapter number 12 and tells you about a vision that was given to him. Notice his revelation in verse number 1. He said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." After talking about how he suffered towards the end of chapter number 11, he says, "You know, it's not expedient. It's not the best for me to glory." He said, "So I'm going to come to some visions and revelations of the Lord." He said, "You know, it's not going to be the best for me to toot my own horn. So let me just tell you what God gave me. Let me tell you what God showed me." You ever had something nice and you want to show somebody, or something that was really important and you want to show somebody? He said, "I don't want to brag or nothing like that, but let me show you what I got." So Paul's talking about his revelations that he received. He said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Some people think this was one of the times that Paul got stoned and was left for dead. And that's why he says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Whether I was in the spirit or whether this actually happened, was this a dream? Was this reality? So he says, I'm sharing these revelations, but was this reality? I don't know. He says, such an one caught up to the third heaven. He said, whether it was a reality or not, I was caught up to the third heaven. He says, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. The man is him. The man is him. Okay? So he says, got these revelations I want to share with you. I don't want to boast or brag, but whether it's reality, whether I was in the body, I don't know. He said, this was relayed to me. Notice verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, the third heaven or paradise is what we would call heaven. The first heaven is, of course, the sky. The second heaven, then, is the expanse universe. Okay, the birds fly in one heaven. The stars hang out in the other heaven. God lives in the third heaven.
Yes, he does.
Amen. That's a dimension that you and I cannot access except spiritually. Now, we can see the heavens where the birds are at with telescopes. We can see beyond that with telescopes. But you can get a telescope all you want to, and you can't see the heaven of heavens where God dwells at, the third heaven. So Paul says, you know what? I was caught up to the third heaven. I was in paradise. He says, and I heard unspeakable words. If it's an unspeakable word, what does that mean? I can't speak it. It's unspeakable. If it's an unspeakable thought, I can't speak it. So in other words, he's saying, I saw some things, and I can't even describe to you what I saw. I can't even put it into words. It's unspeakable. He says, I was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I can't even share with you. Not supposed to. Verse 5 and 6, he starts talking about how he's going to relinquish talking about this. And what he heard, he said, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He says, you know, I want to talk to you about what I saw, but I need to talk to you about my infirmities. I would love to tell you what I saw and what I heard, but I can't. So I'm not going to talk about that, but let me talk about what I got because of what I saw. Y'all follow that?
Yes, sir.
He said, I saw something. Can't tell you what I saw. But let me tell you what I got because of what I saw, is what he's saying. He says down there in verse number 6, for though I would desire the glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest to any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me. He said, I would like to glory in this and kind of, you know, make a fool of myself and pretty much kind of brag and be braggadocious about what I saw.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
He said, but I can't. But I can't. Amen. But then he says this. This is the remedy of what God gave me, so I won't be braggadocious. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He said, unless I got puffed up through what I saw, there was given to me a what? Thorn in the flesh. The messenger of who?
Satan
to buffet me. So in other words, God normally, say this is you and I, the Christian, does like this when it comes to Satan for you and I. Don't touch my anointed. That's mine. But on this occasion, he says, okay, let you give him his thorn. Let you give him a thorn. And of course, Satan comes in like, woohoo! Yeah! What'd you do to Job? Have you considered my servant Job? You can take everything away from him, but you better not touch him. Satan came back and said, you touch him, I bet he curse you to your face. I said, really? Okay. You do what you want to do, but you save his life. Don't you kill him. I bet Job sometimes wish he was dead. So in other words, God said, okay, because of what you saw, I want to help you to remain humble, Paul. And because I want you to remain humble, I'm going to let Satan give you something to keep you humble. So through this passage here, what Paul is saying is that he saw something so spectacular, and although he would love to boast about it, he can't boast about it. And to make sure he doesn't boast about it, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be what? Exalted above measure. In other words, Paul is saying that because of what I saw and because of how I was blessed, God wants me to stay humble and let me recognize that it's all him and none of me. He gave me something. What are we talking about? When it came, or when the thorn came. We know what came. The thorn came. But when did it come? It came after he saw something exciting. Think about it. How are you and I when we see something great or something that nobody else has seen? Or maybe you're in an environment and you have one of these tests and they say, okay, the first one that gets the answer, let me know. What do you do? Ooh. I got it. And what does everybody say? They're smart. They're somebody. They're quick. They're whatever. I led a soul to Christ. Whoa, they're so spiritual. I found that answer that everybody's been looking for. Whoa, look at them. Paul is saying his thorn came because of a great experience that God allowed him to have. What am I saying? If you look back, oftentimes your thorn will come after a great experience. Now, I'm speaking from experience. My wife and I got saved February 3rd, 1991. And the only thing that we thought we didn't have were children. And we're saved now, so God's going to surely bless us with children. Carmen got pregnant. We made sure she was pregnant. We were like, woo! Went back to church. Guess what? We're having a baby. We're pregnant. Yeah! The next moment, guess what happened? Carmen lost the baby, had a miscarriage. We said, okay. She got pregnant again. We said, well, let's wait. Let's not tell anybody right away. Let's make sure at this time. Made sure, went along. Woo! We're pregnant again. Hey, this is it. What happened? She lost again. That time they had to take that side of the fallopian tubes out and the ovaries because the baby was too big. So they had to take it off. So now we're left with one side. Third time we came along, we thought, well, okay, let's not tell anybody. Let's not tell anybody. What happened? Each time a thorn came. And that's why my wife didn't like Mother's Day. The third time came along. We've got one fallopian tube left. We've got one ovary left. And another ectopic pregnancy. We hadn't told anybody at this time. And we went in. And the doctor said, look, we got to take out your tubes. And we got to take out your ovaries. And I said, honey, let's not do that. Let's not do that. So is there any way that you guys can take the baby out without disrupting the fallopian tubes and the ovaries? They said, well, we'll try our best, but it's going to be really scarred, and you won't be able to have any children. I said, well, honey, I said, if they take out your ovaries and your fallopian tubes, we definitely ain't have no kids. And the doctor looked at me as if I was some unhuman person with no feelings to do this to my wife. My wife echoed the sentiment and said, you monster, basically. Do you know what I've gone through twice and now it's the third time. I don't want to go through this again. I said, honey, and I don't either. I said, but I know how bad we want children. I said, let's give God a chance. I said, but if we take it out, I said, there is no chance. And so she agreed reluctantly. We left it in. And third time, we were depressed, dejected. Started to adopt, go through the adoption process. Dealing with our thorn. And then guess what happened? Carmen got pregnant. And G2 came. Now, any of you remember us being at the storefront, you remember Mrs. Dawson was in the wheelchair the majority of that pregnancy once Gregory started growing because she had a uterine tumor. That as Gregory grew, the tumor grew. And she was incapacitated sitting in the wheelchair there. And, of course, baby came. The tumor was there. And the doctor said, don't you ever, ever, ever think about doing this again. Or your wife will die, more than likely. She almost died in delivery. Gregory almost died as well. But God in his mercy and his grace bought them both out. But what am I saying? That our thorn came at a high time in our life. Right after the high time, a thorn. Right after the high time, a thorn. Right after the high time, a thorn. When did Paul's thorn come? Right after a high time, a thorn. When did Job's thorn come? A high time. He had children. He had riches. He was going to God for his children in case they did something. He was one of the highest men of the East. And what happened? A thorn. Jesus, after going through everything and preaching and teaching and being at the height where they said, let's crown him king. What happened? Thorn. Thorn. What am I saying? Paul said, you know, I had the opportunity to see the third heaven. Privilege no one else saw or had. It was easy for me to become filled with pride. But God allowed a thorn to come to keep me humble. Now, folks, I'm not going to lie. My wife and I, when we got saved, we thought we were God's special prize. We were God's special children. We were doing everything that he asked us to do. We surrendered to everything. There was nothing we wouldn't do. We were giving to missions. We were tithing more than we should have given. We were just giving and giving and giving. We were going and going. God must be pleased with us so much so that he finally gave us a baby. We're God's special children. Ha ha. Look at us. Then a thorn. Perhaps if we hadn't got filled with pride, maybe we wouldn't have gotten a thorn. I don't know. But I do know this. We did get filled with pride. And I do know this. We did get a thorn. Not once, but twice. Not twice, but thrice. And I guess we must have learned our lesson on that particular one, because we did get a baby. It came the hard way.
Yes, sir, it did.
But we did. When the Lord allows you and I to have a thorn in the flesh, he often allows it right after a major spiritual accomplishment. Go into your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 35. Let me show you something here real quick. And in the life of Jacob, Genesis chapter 35. Of course, you know the story about Jacob. He was a trickster. He learned his lesson. And we come to Genesis chapter 35. He's pretty much established himself as to what he needs to be for God. And chapter 35, notice verse number one, he's at the place where God tells him to go back to Bethel. Do things the right way. Notice it says, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. So God had appeared to him already. He made an altar. Of course, he went, had his wives. He's on his way back. God says, go right back to the place where you and I had an agreement, and you made an altar. Verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. So in other words, he said, we're going to meet God, get everything out of the way. We don't want any hindrance from your old land that you picked up. Because remember, Jacob went to the far land, and now he's coming back to where he should be. He says, verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. So God blessed him. He said, God answered me in the day of my distress. He was with me in the way which I went. Verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. See, wearing earrings for guys is nothing new. Amen. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Now, why does it say that? Because they had just killed all of the males in the town that they were in, Shechem, because they had defiled their daughter Dinah. And the boys went in there and killed everybody and took all the wives and all their stuff, possession. So God says, now get out of there. And nobody came after him. So you'd think Jacob's probably like, but not touch me. God's protecting me. We're going back to Bethel. We're going to worship God. Notice what it says, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon them. The cities were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. That's a high right there. But notice what happens right after that. Verse 8. verse 7. He built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, or the house of God. And notice what it says here. El Bethel, God of Bethel. It says, and he called the place El Bethel because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. That now he's back to where he should be. Notice 8, but that shows a change. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. The name of it was called Elon Bekatha. But it doesn't stop there. Notice verse 18. And it came to pass, after her soul was departing, this is Rachel, the one that he loved, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, dies. Verse 18, Rachel, the one that he loves, dies. Then come down to verse 28. The days of Isaac, this is his dad, were 104 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and what? Died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. So coming off this high, I'm going to go back to Bethel. I'm going to worship God. We're going to get rid of all of our old gods. The terror of God is upon us. We go down, we build an ark, then an altar, then Rebekah dies. Go a little further. Rachel has my second child, the lady that I really love, and she dies. I go back, and now my dad dies. All after a high point in his life. Noah comes off the ark and makes a vineyard and gets drunk. Come off this high, get drunk, and puts a curse on Canaan. After high. Oftentimes, our knock at the door comes after a high. Get excited about a lesson, now you got to stop. Amen. Right after a mountaintop experience, it's easy for you and I to be filled with pride. It is. And we just have to face it. It is. We're prideful people. We just are. I get a house, guess what? I'm going to tell somebody. I get a car, I'm going to tell somebody. I get a raise, I'm going to tell somebody. My children have an achievement, I'm going to tell somebody. Oh, look, he walked. My son walked. Oh, my people never walked before. My son learned how to ride a bike. My people never rode a bike before. Like people never got a house before. Like people never got a car before. Like people never got a promotion before. But it didn't happen to me.
Amen.
That's the difference. It didn't happen to me. I want you to know what happened to me. Paul is saying, hey, this happened to me. And as a result, I could have been puffed up, but God wouldn't let it happen. And he gave me a thorn. What came a thorn? When it came after a high. Very quickly, why it came. Why it came. Give you a couple reasons why it came. Number one, because of the hunger of self. The hunger of self. Now, there are multiple reasons why the Lord would allow thorns. But one of the main reasons is a hunger of self. Paul's thorn came to create hunger within him for God and not to have a hunger for what he saw. There's a difference. What am I talking about? We can be so enamored with the blessings of God that we forget the blesser who is God. What's the equivalent? Give your child a toy, and instead of the child coming to thank you, they go embrace the toy and leave you and go play with the toy.
Yes, sir.
Until it gets broken. Then they come back and, Daddy, can you fix it? Broken. Sometimes we can get so enamored with the blessings of God that we forget the blesser who is God. And so the hunger of self has to be diagnosed with a thorn oftentimes. Let me read what's here. As we grow in our Christian lives, it's easy to become so consumed with doing things for God that we neglect to get to know God. It's easier to do for God than to know God. Because to know God, I've got to sit at God's feet in his word. Doing God is easy. Just go out and do. You please, right, God? Well, if I don't know God, I may not know what to do for God. We lack spiritual hunger to know him personally, and it can be easy to serve him to meet our own needs rather than to fill up on his word. In other words, I get fulfillment from doing. That's why work salvation is so popular. But like Mrs. Dawson said, just being saved and I don't have to keep myself saved. Wow. I need to just sit back and do nothing. I'm not even learning who saved me. Mary and Martha is your example that you have there. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which should not be taken from her. And we're going to stop with that one. The hunger of self, there's two more that I'm going to give you next week. Why it came, the hunger of self is the first one. Do you guys have that written in your book?
No.
You have that written in your book, the hunger for self? You do have that? Okay. So hunger for self, we're going to stop with that one. And we're going to give you the memory verse of Luke 10:42. Luke 10:42. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part that should not be taken from her. Luke 10:42 is going to be our memory verse. But why it came, a hunger of self. Oftentimes we can get so enamored from what we can do or what God can give that we forget God. Now I can come to church and get so enamored with preaching that I forget who I'm preaching for. But preacher, you're preaching for us. No. God called me to preach. And so I'm preaching for God. And get so enamored about teaching that I forget who I'm teaching for. Preacher, you're teaching for us. No, I'm teaching for God. And I've got to please him. I've got to know him and know what he wants. I can get so enamored with fathering my children or loving my wife and forget that I'm doing it for Christ. Say, well, I'm doing it for them. I'm really not. I'm doing it for God. They are recipients of the blessing. So we can forget the blesser and get caught up with the blessings. And God may have to give us a thorn in the flesh. I don't like them any more than you. I don't like them. But they do the job. And if the job is done right, it should cause us to go right back to God and ask him for his grace and his mercy to continue doing that which I should, but through His power, His grace, His mercy. Folks, I'm still learning. I'm still learning. He's still working on me. And self gets in the way oftentimes. The hunger of self gets in the way. I'm sure you would say sometimes for you as well. Folks, we've got to focus on what Mary said, what Jesus said to Mary. But one thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her. What came a thorn? When it came after a spiritual high, why it came, one reason is the hunger of self. Memory verse, Luke 10:42. Father, thank you so much that you and your love, you take time and patience with us. And Lord, sometimes you have to give us a thorn based upon what you've given to us and how you've blessed us. Lord, maybe what you've allowed us to see in that thorn is many, many different things that it could be. Lord, the end result is that you want to keep us in a position where we're dependent upon you, not on ourselves. Lord, help us as we meditate on this verse this week to look at Martha and her cumbered about with doing, but then, Lord, embrace Mary and her loving being at the feet of Jesus. Lord, there's nothing wrong with serving, but we don't want to get so caught up with serving that we forget who we're serving. Lord, help us remember that it is you that we should be serving and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. You may have to give us a thorn to remind us. So Lord, help us throughout this week, throughout this day, throughout this month, Lord, to understand. Thorn in the flesh is sometimes agonizing, but in the result, it is that which is needful to keep our minds focused on thee. Bless now refreshments next door. Help us into our next hour to rely upon you as our Lord and Shepherd. Thank you for loving us. Bless the hands that prepared the snacks and those that have brought them, and help us to, Lord, enjoy them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.